You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What is going on? Bar Down Breakdown, episode 176. And tonight is a special one. We are joined by our homie, Kyle from Fireworks, a repeat guest. It's been like 150 episodes since we've had him on. Had to get him back because there's tons of Fireworks news to talk about.
Too much.
What's going on, brother?
Hi. What's up? Thanks for having me.
Dude, thanks for coming back. It's good
to be back. 150 episodes later. Pretty solid.
Pretty solid, man.
We should keep that up every 150.
To the T. You'll come back every 150 episodes.
I'm down if you're down.
Yeah. That seems to fit right into my schedule.
So, yeah, let's talk about that busy schedule, Kyle. A lot of news, and it's kind of funny. We asked 150 episodes ago if there would be any kind of reunion shows or anything like that coming about with Fireworks, and then out of nowhere it seems like there was the tour announcement with you guys and the Wonder Years and Max Seal, and today just announced Slam Dunk Festival. So I guess tell us how that went down.
I don't know how it all went down, really. I mean, we like I do know how it went down, but there's not a solid answer. We just kind of have been, you know, still talking and still, you know, been writing music and playing music together, and we're still friends. So it would happen. We knew, like, even when we stopped playing in 2015, we knew that we'd play again. We just didn't know when. And then we were talking about doing it in 2019, and then the pandemic happened, which threw us off our rhythm. And now, like, it just things kind of came together, and the Wonder Years were doing this thing, and they're like, you guys should come. And so we're like, all right, let's do it. And then because of that, you know, Slam Dunk came knocking. So
going across the pond.
I guess, like, with this kind of coming about, kind of spur of the moment, you know, you guys have kids now, full-time jobs, like things like that, like definitely had to complicate things, right?
Oh, for sure. And that's why we won't it won't be like a full-time thing or whatever. It's just gonna, it's everyone's lives come first, like before, fireworks is our livelihood. So it was cool because we got to explore other sides of life, kind of settle into who we are, and now we can come back and do it on our own time, and it's cool, and we can do whatever we want. So
I love that, dude. So I guess Slam Dunk Festival, you got to obviously book flights to go to the UK and all that, which is I'm sure super complicated. Did they handle that kind of stuff for you to make it a little easier on your end?
No. we're going to have to figure that out. Like, it's, and we all live in different parts of the country now. So we're, it'll be a little logistical nightmare to figure out where we're flying from, where we're rehearsing, like all that stuff. But same with this thing, we have to three of us are in Michigan and three of us are elsewhere. So it takes some planning to all get together. But yeah, amen. I mean, the Slam Dunk have been awesome to us and help as much as they can. But, it is ultimately easier if we book our own flights because then, there's no third party involved.
You have to go through a middleman or anything. Right. It's always interesting, like talking to bands, especially like when you're either taking gear overseas or you have like gear that's already there just to kind of like pick up and play. It's always cool, like hearing those like stories of, we were able to get everything over there. Everything worked out just fine. Or we lost everything. It ended up in a different country. What's going on?
It can be a nightmare. Like, our guitars have been on a different plane than us somehow, like when we were going over there before. This one airline threw a ton of fees at us like at the gate, and so we ended up like not being able to bring gear and just had to leave our gear behind with someone. And and one time I think Brett, the airline lost his luggage in Japan, like when we went to Japan. And the morning we woke up to go back home, like to go to the airport to go back home, a courier brought his bag. So he got it at the very last minute, right before he was able to go home.
Right after the tour was done and everything. And he had to get a whole bunch of extra clothes or wash the stuff he was already in a whole bunch of times. That's insane.
Yeah. But yeah, that's always a nightmare. I wish I could and you can't really carry on a bass. Mm-mm. Or a guitar that easily. Like one time I we would try to carry that on, and then they'd always tell us to gate check it, which was we felt a little better about, just because at least it's not like the airline just throwing it around, like it's it goes last minute. But I was so I carried it through security, and the TSA person was just like, you can't bring a gun on the plane. And I was like, it's not a gun, it's bass guitar. And then they opened it up and it was a bass guitar, not a gun. And so.
But the way things go in this country, you would think that that would be like normal. Like, oh yeah, sure, bring that right on this plane.
Bring this gun on the plane, yeah.
Depending on which side of the Mason-Dixon line you're on. If you're in the South, that's perfectly normal.
To fly with guns, it's more fun.
It's more of a riveting flight overall.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I like extra danger.
So I guess to stay on the topic of what's cooking with fireworks, you guys also just dropped a new single. It kind of felt like out of left field a couple of years ago.
Yeah, 2019.
Yes. So that being a fireworks fan was just like the best day ever because it came out of literally nowhere. I was just like, what the heck is this?
I almost didn't believe it when it came out.
I almost didn't believe it either, because sometimes people like can hack Spotify artist pages and like, oh yeah, there's another band like called Fireworks or whatever.
Yeah, linked up. Yeah, that's happened.
Yeah, and I was like, I wonder if that's what happened. Then obviously I listened to the song. I was like, oh no, this is a legit Fireworks song, literally out of nowhere. So was that planned, or was that a song you were sitting on for a while and you just were like, all right, this is the time?
It was I mean, it was something that, you know, Dave and Chris were working on, and then it kind of came together, you know, as a Fireworks song. And so that's kind of what, you know, kind of started us talking about doing stuff again. It was like around that time we had, there's like other songs and song ideas too. And so then we recorded that and then dropped it. And yeah. And then I'm sure, as you know, we announced a record right after that. But then a pandemic happened and kind of threw us off course. So
is that record still coming?
It's still coming.
Just will show up one day in our spot.
It's just going to show up.
It's going to be there one day.
I mean,
no pre-save campaign. They're just going to, here's the new Fireworks record. There you go.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, we're a mystery.
I'm sure a lot has changed. You know, it's not like you guys haven't been around in like a million years, but like a lot has changed with that whole like single campaign and the way music's released now. Like, are you guys up on those trends, or you're just going to continue doing it your way?
Yeah, I think we're just going to do whatever we want, because I don't know what's going on, and none of us like really we're out of the game. I don't know. We're just like, but we know how to be a band, and so we're just going to do what we think's cool.
I think it's like, it's easier because like Fireworks as a whole has such diehard fans.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's insane. Like anytime you bring up, you know, seeing Fireworks in concert or being at a Fireworks show, even like as far back as like 2010, like 2009, 2010, people remember Fireworks shows. And it's like to the point where, you know, even when you guys released the O Common Life too, like all my friends were talking about it. Like friends that I have like never, like I hadn't talked to in years. They were just like, hey, Fireworks just dropped a new album. And I remember O Common Life was like such a big hit to all of us who had been like waiting for something after Gospel, because we were just itching for more. And it's just really cool when you have that hardcore fan base. Same thing with when With the Punches released the EP this year too. Their fans were just waiting for it. Like they were just like, this is the first With the Punches album we've had in almost 11 years. So it's just really cool when you have that like really hardcore fan base that's really kind of like itching for something more. And especially when you put out the single in 2019, everybody was just like waiting for something else.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like not everyone gets Fireworks, but the people that do like really, really love it. So it's cool. Like it's a cool base to have. Like I prefer that. It's like the people that are into it are stoked on it. So
Yeah, I'm one of those people. So I know.
I can tell there's some indicators,
just a few. And yeah. I'm not even like, I know back in the day you would lose your scene card for that, but I don't care. I'm just too old to care.
Yeah, no, it's all cool now. I think wearing shirts to show support is in. I'm declaring it in.
So, well, I was laughing with Mikey before you hopped on that. I actually got a 7-inch of Bonfires by trading my buddy a copy of like The Lion King on Super Nintendo for it. He's just like, hey, I got an extra copy. He's like, you want to trade? I'm like, yeah, what do you want? He goes, I want that copy of Lion King on Super Nintendo. I go, bet, here you go.
Nice. I think both of you guys won in that trade. So
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Touche.
That's cool.
So I guess just because I can ask you, the title, Demitasse. Like I used to work in an Italian restaurant, and that's just like, I remember the first time I was like 15 or 16 and an old school Italian guy, he's like, hey, let me get some Demitasse. And I'm like, I don't think we have that. So like, I didn't know that that was just another name for like espresso, and it was just totally out of my element working in an Italian restaurant, being an Irish kid. But I guess what's the significance behind the name or the title?
Chris named it because he's Macedonian and has a, you know, was very involved with his Macedonian heritage, and so he named it after, you know, that to kind of coincide with the lyrics he wrote for it. So, and his family stuff, but yeah, so it's, you know, same part of the, I always like get nervous when I talk about Macedonia in regards to Chris, cause he'll get offended if I like mess something up. But I feel like Italy's kind, you know, that kind of, it makes sense that that would be in an Italian restaurant too, that you would recognize that from an Italian restaurant, like with that part of the world, because Macedonia is kind of over there too, but they're not to be confused.
At some point in history, they were all ruled by one person, whether it was Alexander the Great or Rome or Athens or whatever.
Right.
So there is some type of cultural mingling between all the islands out in the Mediterranean and Greece, right, and Italy.
And, yeah, and now it's like, now Macedonia is like they have to have a different name because there was a Macedonian Greece and they were like, didn't want them in the EU. It's a whole thing. Mm-hmm. I've learned a lot about Macedonia culture over the years. Also, the owners of the Red Wings, the Iliches, Macedonian. Mm-hmm. So
it's crazy. Yeah. You come here to listen about fireworks and hockey, and you come out learn a little bit about European history and Macedonia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Touche. Yeah.
Try to get Chris to come to talk about Macedonia, but he's too busy being a dad.
Aw.
So
I feel that. I feel mm-hmm. that. Every time I like sneak away to do this podcast, I'm like, God, I got the best wife ever.
A wife that puts up with podcasting.
It's easier when they're a little bit older. They just kind of like hang out on their computer in their room.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. Can I go talk to my computer for a little bit?
Hey,
she's talking, we were just to her as bad I'm talking to mine.
Back in the day too.
Nah.
We were yelling at mom to get off the phone though, so we can get on the internet.
Oh yeah, the dial up.
Yep. So,
I missed that sound.
So I've like I said, like we've been fireworks fans for the longest time, and I actually have two stories that I wanted to ask you. So
okay.
Originally, like I'm in Orlando right now, but I grew up in South Florida.
Okay.
I've seen you guys come down to, you know, every venue in South Florida that you guys were allowed to play in.
Right.
And I was at the infamous 2009 Culture Room show.
Okay.
And it's funny because I have another story about that tour that my friend wanted to ask you guys. But I remember that show so vividly with, I think it was Polar Bear Club and Set Your Goals. Mm-hmm. I remember just having a blast at that show, and then all of a sudden security just gets mad and David just goes, "You guys outnumber them, hop on stage," and we all just like rush the stage, and then you guys weren't allowed to play there anymore. But yeah. That opened up so many doors for you guys to play Talent Farm, which was easily one of my favorite venues down south, and I saw you guys there maybe 4 to 5 times.
Yeah, no, I mean, Talent Farm was like, I mean, well, the first time we played the Talent Farm was like one of the first places outside of Michigan that we were like, oh, people like us. Like, and it was, yeah, the shows were awesome there. And that was actually when we couldn't play the, Culture Room. Yeah, when we couldn't play that, we ended up just doing a matinee at the Talent Farm. And Hop Along jumped on, and it was just it was a cool 1 p.m. show, and then we took the night off, and yeah, and that was the last time we played Town Farm. I don't think it's there anymore, right?
No, they unfortunately they had complaints from I think it was like a laser tag place that was next door about the parking and everything else that was going on every time they had shows, and Mr. Burns just couldn't support it anymore. I was heartbroken when I found out that happened. But it was crazy because that tour that you guys did, the matinee, I think that was the Greatest Generation tour for the Wonder Years. And the fact that you guys not only did a matinee out of, you know, just like courtesy for everybody who got tickets to the Culture Room show, they still came out to the Talent Farm to watch you guys, to then drive like the 40 minutes to Culture Room to catch the rest of the tour. I thought that was like just like a really cool sentiment that you guys did. But, you know, fuck Culture Room for what they did. I've gotten kicked out of that venue so many times.
Yeah, it was ridiculous because, like, I don't quite remember what happened at that 2009 show. I remember it happening, and I remember us cutting our set early because I know they were like the security was like choking people that were crowd surfing or like manhandling them and stuff like that. So we stopped, and then I know it got out of hand, but I don't remember exactly what happened. And then then, you know, that was 2009, and then time went on, and we weren't originally on that Greatest Generation tour. Defeater was, and we ended up taking their spot because they had to drop off. And once we got added, like, all, you know, we just got added to all the, you know, all the venues. And then our manager at the time called me and was like, "What did you guys do in Florida in 2009? I was like, "I don't know." then they're like, "Well, you can't play this venue." And I was like, "No one can talk them into like letting us play." Like, that was 5 years ago. And like, and they just like would not back down from it. And then so like, even like the Wonder Years agent tried to call them and was like, they're on the tour, let them, and they're like, "No." So we just like, "All right, well, book our own show."
So that story was when you guys came back and Culture Room was like, "No, we're not doing this." That story broke the like the New Times article for Broward County. So if you go to like the New Times article on for Broward County, just type in fireworks Culture Room. You'll actually pull up an article from the local paper talking about how you guys got banned and then talking about how you guys played Talent Farm instead. It's probably the funniest thing I've read all week. So I'm like, there's got to be something about that show. I'm like, I just want to remember what happened.
Nice. Is the article pro us or pro culture?
Oh, pro you guys. Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
And then, I have one more story that I wanted to ask you guys because I wanted to vet my friend. Right. So he's originally from Maryland, but he was down in St. Pete for that same tour, the Polar Bear Club Set Your Goals tour. And apparently you guys were pool hopping before your set and someone had to grab you guys and you guys came on stage basically like soaking wet in your bathing suits and ripped an amazing set in St. Pete. You might not remember, but I just wanted to vet him really quick to see if you might remember.
That sounds like something we do. what would it be at the Orpheum or what venue?
I think it was in St. Petersburg, so it wouldn't have been the Orpheum. Oh. It was probably like Janice Live or one of the older venues that were there.
Yeah. In St. Let me see if I can
find it really quick.
Yeah, we probably snuck into some hotel and went swimming.
Ripped
a set. Anything went on that tour. That was like, that tour was insane.
Did you guys ever go pool hopping? Because I remember doing that in like middle school and high school and thinking I was like such a rebel or badass for doing it. Is that like what every kid does?
Yeah, we used to do it all the time back in Michigan in the summer. Yeah, that was like a big thing for us. That we'd just like find apartment complexes or a hotel that like we can somehow like
hop the fence or get into the
fence or just pretend to be a guest or whatever.
But I'm talking like in the suburbs, like going in neighborhoods and jumping in just like strangers' pools.
I don't recall any specific moments of me doing that, but I feel that's something that was probably had happened at some point. I well there was like a swim club that I like hopped the fence and like I went swimming at like, you know, midnight. So yeah, so I guess that's the same thing. It's like a country club type pool.
All right.
Yeah, see, we couldn't do that in South Florida. We just walked around and grabbed people's like mangoes and limes and stuff that were like growing over the fence and stole.
What do you mean you couldn't do that in South Florida? I feel like I've done most of my like pool hopping in Florida.
Oh, I don't know. Miami's a whole other place. You don't know if there's going to be a pit bull on the other side or a tiger.
Oh, well, I guess that's true. Yeah. I guess it would be more safer bets, like a apartment complex or.
Yeah. Some of those homes down there, I don't trust them. Don't trust them.
So, I guess, Kyle, now that you're a few years removed from touring, do you think your body still has it in you, or are you going to start, like, training to go back on the road?
I'm not talking
like musically, I'm like physically, like your body, like doing it.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm in okay shape, but so I don't know, but that's a whole different beast. So, I was, you know, might get back on my exercising game a little harder, but I think I'll be able to handle it.
You know? Hopefully at this stage in your career, you guys are going to be getting hotels and sleeping in real beds and not like on people's floors.
Yeah. We're adults now and we're only going to do it as adults. So
that's a perk, right? Justin did that this last summer.
Comfort has to be top priority.
I feel like we only camped out on like one person's house and he had 8 couches. Like full body couches. So I just passed out on his couch and it was the best sleep I got that entire tour until I was back home.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does one person have 8 couches is the real question.
Ask Walt. I don't know why Walt has 8 couches, but he does.
Walt's
the most interesting man.
I want to ask him.
But yeah, I will say I did bring a Theragun this tour because I'm an old man. Like those massage guns.
Oh, okay.
It was like a $25 one off Amazon. Amazing. Best purchase ever. I just sat there in the van just like after a show, just tired as hell, just like hitting my like legs and hitting my back and my arms. Great investment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was living with Brett for a little bit and we had like a foot massager that we would just sit on the couch and take turns using the foot massager, and he was like pretty good investment.
Yep.
And I guess, are you prepared for Wonder Year shows? Because it's been a few years removed since you guys played with them, and they're like a whole different level now at this point in their careers. Like, are you guys prepared for that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the last tour we did with them, Greatest Generation Tour, I mean, it was in similar size rooms. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I mean, I think we can handle it, and they're gonna be cool shows. And like, I actually went out with them for like a couple weeks in the spring this year, so I saw what they're doing these days, and you know, I mean, they're definitely, I guess they're on a different level, and it's like crazy to see how they've grown, especially being friends with them for so long. But I think we can hang.
But like production wise too, like they're. Because I saw them early on, and then I saw them when I moved down to Charlotte, and the production that they put into their live show was completely different from back in the day. So
yeah, it's cool, and I think ours will be too. So
love that, and got to give a little love to Max Seal, Long Island Band. Love to see that they're on that tour too.
Yeah, it should be cool. I'm excited to meet them.
Hell yeah! So. I guess before we jump into some Detroit Red Wings talk, because that's also why we got you here, Kyle, I do want to tell our listeners quickly about our sponsor, DraftKings. So the NFL action is in full swing here at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. We're talking touchdowns, big plays, and even bigger wins. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why bet on football anywhere else? To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped-up same-game parlays once per game all season long. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to get $200 in free bets if your team wins when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code THPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And Kyle, we also like to do on the show is just hear what you are listening to these days. So anything catching your ears lately?
No.
He listens to no music.
I listen to no music. Let me, I got my Spotify right here. I always like to freeze up on that question because I'm like, I listen to a lot of stuff. Let's see. I haven't listened to, I don't know what the newest artist I've gotten into is. I was listening to Bad Religion the other day. I got on a Bad Religion kick. So that was and then listened to I don't have a new band that I'm that has grabbed me quite recently yet. But
Mikey's gonna hit you with it.
Listen to a lot of older stuff. Yeah.
Okay, the, I respect
well,
that.
Well, you know what? I'll the new Turnstile record I think is really great.
Oof. Glow so on.
Yeah.
Well, dude, you throw that Turnstile record on.
Yeah, and I'm super stoked for those guys. Like what they're doing is super cool. And it's yeah, it's gonna be cool for them.
Heck yeah, man. Well, dude, if you throw Turnstile on with your Raycon wireless earbuds, it's going to sound even sweeter, my friend. Ooh. Raycon's everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever with optimized gel tips for the perfect in-ear fit. These earbuds are so comfortable, and they will not budge. Trust me. Raycons give you 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. Raycons are priced just right. You get quality audio at half the price of other premium audio brands. It's no wonder Raycon's everyday earbuds have over 50,000 five-star reviews. So go to buyraycon.com today and use promo code THPN15 to get 15% off your Raycon order. That's code THPN15 at buyraycon.com to score 15% off. Buyraycon.com, code THPN15. All right. So, Kyle, let's just jump right into it, man. How are you feeling about the Red Wings this season?
I'm excited for it. Like we got a whole bunch of new players. I think last season was like they weren't good really, but they were competitive, and so it made it exciting to watch. And I think that's going to be amped up more this year. And I think the Steve Yzerman's plan is in full force right now. So I'm excited. I don't know a lot about the new peeps that we got, but I'm excited for it.
I will say if Stevie Wonder does to the Red Wings again what he did to Tampa Bay, amazing. Mm-hmm. Helped us get two Stanley Cups, took us to a third. It was really sad to watch him go, but I'm glad he's back with the Red Wings.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I mean, those cups were like his doing, I feel.
Oh, absolutely.
The Bolts would not have been the team they are without him, like as the GM, kind of like stepping up and pulling mm-hmm. the people that he did. But I mean, we can kind of talk about the Red Wings' future, but how was it growing up in this amazing dynasty area where Detroit was literally coined the term hockey town?
I mean, it was insane. I mean, I loved it. Like, but just like Red Wings stuff was like, it was like the biggest deal. Cause like, you know, Detroit at the time was like, you know, not doing great. And, mm-hmm. So we like had a lot of pride in like a team doing really well. And that was like, the one, and they kept getting so close and not getting it, and then they finally got it, and it was, you know, it was just so exciting. Like, I remember, like, leaping off of, like, watching, like, leaping off the floor when Darren McCarty scored that game-winning goal in 97. Yeah, and, but yeah, it was, like, in the culture. Like, so many of my friends played hockey. Like we played I remember, like, I think when I was, like, 12, like, I, like, there was, like, maybe 10 days out of the year that I didn't play hockey. Like, I was just, like, obsessed. And then I, like, you know, I was playing roller, I was playing ice. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it was such an exciting time.
Yeah, and you know, you turn on Home Improvement on TGIF Friday, and you got Tim Allen rocking Red Wing stuff. Like, it was, like, yeah, really right there in pop culture, too, man, in the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. I mean, we had some of the best players, so it was like, yeah, it was a big deal to the league. I mean, our teams were insane, like, mm-hmm. and like I was just saying, I don't really, like, know much about the new players that we got this year, but, like, then, like, and the news also came differently because it'd be in, like, the newspaper or maybe on SportsCenter or something like that. It was, like, how you'd get the news, but, like, I just remember, like, getting, like, so excited to like when I'd be like, oh, Brendan Shanahan just got traded to us, like like, or like Brett Hall, or like it was like always exciting to be like, who's gonna, like, come to the Red Wings, because everyone wanted to play there. And it was, yeah, I haven't felt that excitement for a trade with the Wings in a long time.
I was going to say, wasn't not only was Tim Allen wearing one, but I think Uncle Joey from Full House also rocked the Red Wings.
He's a bigger rocker of the Red Wings.
Dave Coulier,
yeah.
Isn't he from Ontario too?
He might be. I think he is, or he might be from Detroit actually. I think he's from Detroit, but because I think he might still live there or have a house there, because he does, like, stand up around town. But he was always wearing Red Wings stuff on the show, but, like, even, like, I feel like in live performances he was, like, always wearing, like, Red Wings gear.
Mm-hmm. I don't really get that with the Islanders much.
Or the Bolts. Like, you don't see people rocking Bolts stuff in movies and stuff like that.
Yeah, no. even Tupac was wearing the Red Wings jersey.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah. Did you have a sweet, like, Red Wings starter jacket?
I don't know. My older cousin, he's like, you know, probably like over 20 years older than me. He at the time was fixing the Red Wings sewing machine, like, for their skates.
Oh, nice.
Like, so he was like, they would call him when it needed repair, and he worked down the road, and he would go over there and fix their machines, and they would like give him, like, merch or like game used stuff, like, in return. And like he gave me a Red Wings, like, varsity jacket, and then he worked at a sewing machine store that did embroidery, so he, like, embroidered my name on it, so I had this, like, this Red Wings, like, varsity jacket with my name on it. But I feel like I did have the starter jacket.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm like mad about from my childhood, is that I didn't have, like, the Islanders fisherman starter jacket.
Oh, that's
I had a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket. Like, what the heck was my mom or dad thinking at that time? Like, makes no sense. It's just weird that I now live in Charlotte, but on Long Island, you know, 10-year-old rocking a Charlotte Hornets starter jacket.
That was the popular one.
Yeah, that was, like, the super popular colors, like, color scheme, that turquoise and white and purple. People loved the Hornets when they first came out.
Yeah.
I never liked basketball. I still don't really like basketball. I was, like, such a hockey kid, and that was probably just, like,
it's
Marshalls or something.
It's funny how, like, like when you're a kid, how like you just get attached to a team for no reason, really. Yep. Like I was like obsessed with the Orlando Magic when I was a kid. And like
because of Shaq.
Well, yeah, he had the same last name as me too, so I was like stoked on that, or at least pronounced the same. And spelled a little differently. But so I had a Shaq jersey, and then I was like, well, I'll get a pennant, like a Hardaway jersey. and then I was like, I liked the Anaheim Ducks because of the movie Mighty Ducks. Mm-hmm. So I had a Paul Kariya jersey. And then I just really liked Felix Potvin, so I had a Toronto jersey. And I liked the city of Toronto because my family would go there like for like vacation. And so I was like, okay, I'll be a Leafs fan. Like, and then of course I had a bunch of Red Wings gear.
I was like, I think I'm wearing my Mighty Ducks hat. I got the one that has the current colors with the old logo. I just feel like that movie was such a catalyst for a lot of people in our generation to get into hockey too.
Oh yeah, it was
especially.
It's huge for me. Like,
yeah, like I was, you know, I was a kid down in Miami. Like the only team we had was started in '93 with the Panthers, and I mean the Panthers really didn't do anything until like that '96-'97 series when we lost to the Avalanche.
Okay, yeah.
I think I was trying to remember. I know the Red Wings lost. I mean, they lost to the Avalanche, but they were just a team that was dominating the league that whole season.
The Avalanche?
Mm-hmm.
And like when the Ducks came, like, I loved it. In 96, I feel like.
It was 96, yeah.
Yeah, it's because like, we lost to the Avalanche in the Western Conference because we were still in the Western Conference then.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the Panthers played them.
That was a sweep. It was so disheartening for me.
Are you a D1 or D2 guy?
I'm a D1 guy, but D2's got its moments.
I think.
What about D3?
Like, no, D3 is just a rom-com, basically.
Like, did you watch the new series?
I loved it.
I did.
I kind of liked it.
I wouldn't say I loved it, but it definitely.
Yeah, I don't know if I love is the right word, but I like enjoyed it thoroughly.
It grows on you after you're watching it more and more, but it has that campy 90s feel.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that they have Riley from Letterkenny on it just kills me every time.
Yeah,
and he kind of like lets in little Letterkenny references too throughout the show. I think that's what I really like about it.
That was Disney just being smart. They knew that would get the 30 something year olds to tune in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like I tuned in for nostalgia purposes and I stuck around. So
they brought Bombay back. Apparently,
yeah. Sure, like season two is back like this week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Sure. This week or next week? Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Watch it on the road because we're going on tour. Don't forget.
You are, and I'm just super like jealous of all the Northeast cities that get to go to those shows where you guys didn't. I think what Maryland's the furthest south you guys are going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty bummed about that. And
come up,
that's where being 35 kind of has its downside. Is you can't just like pick up and do like those kind of fun things anymore, like spur of the moment, like you would be in your early 20s, where you can be like, yeah, let's go to like I would do that all the time. I would just go to like Poughkeepsie for a show from Long Island just because.
Yeah.
Like, even though the tour would be coming to Long Island like the next day, I'd be like, nah, let's go see it in a different market.
We would do it in South Florida all the time. We'd drive up to Orlando or Tampa for a show and come back down to Fort Lauderdale and catch the show again just because it was just one of those shows that we wanted to see a few times.
Yeah. I feel like we would always like drive to Chicago and then back, not even stay or something like it. And one time, this was a fireworks thing, but just because you said Poughkeepsie, it reminded me of it. But we drove like 13 hours to Poughkeepsie to play a show that Chris couldn't play because he was having his like wisdom teeth out or something like that. So Dave played guitar and we drove 13 hours to play a whatever show there and then just drove 13 hour back. And I was like, why did we do this? Like we just didn't want to cancel the show. is the only reason, like, we're like, we can't cancel.
It's basically a 24-hour drive time for a show in Poughkeepsie.
Yeah, for a a half-hour set, like, probably not even.
That's fucking punk rock. That's punk rock at its core.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we are. Punks.
Love that. Love that. So, are there any, like, dates where there's, like, an off day where you can possibly catch a game on the road or anything like that? Have you thought about?
I think I looked and, like, well, maybe I only looked at Red Wings schedule. I haven't really checked. That's probably not going to happen. But, you know, I guess we have 2 days off in Detroit. I haven't checked the schedule for them, but I don't think the season starts quite yet. But I'm going to I already have plans to go out. I live in LA now, and I go to the Kings and Ducks when they play the Wings every year. So I already have plans for that in November.
Nice.
And me and my friend Mike, who plays in that band Never Ending Game, we drove to Phoenix, just the two of us, to see the Wings play the Coyotes last season, and they lost in overtime. So, to the worst team. So,
but they hate to see
it. It was a fun trip.
I would love to catch a Coyotes game this season when they're playing at Arizona State. Like, I wonder how impossible it's going to be to get tickets, because it's like, what, 7,000 or 8,000 people?
5,000 cap.
5,000?
We were talking about it earlier. Yeah, I think. Like, yeah,
it's like 5,000. It's like, holy cow. I mean, every game's gonna sell out. So
I hope so. That would be a bad look if you don't.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like won't be able to go there again.
You know that when Detroit plays there, or like any, like, if Washington plays there, or any other team that has a big fan following, it's gonna be 3,000 away fans and like the hardcore Yotes fans.
Yeah.
That could be a bad look too. Like, geez. Like, yeah, like, I know they had to do it to just, like, as they're waiting for their new arena situation.
I just think it's so insane. I feel like you should almost move to another city for a couple years.
Yeah. Or just, like, play on the road. But, like, you know what? We're going to have no home games. We're just going to be on the road the entire
time. Islanders did it.
Basically. Did they? Well, we started on the
road. They switched back and forth, right?
Yeah, we did that too. We've done it all. We finally have stability. We have a new arena. It's beautiful, as I hear. I haven't gone yet. I'm just a bad Islander fan right now.
Gotta go check out the barn. I think my favorite part about Arizona right now is that they're gonna have all the NFL sponsors over all the boards, but they're not gonna have the Coyotes logo in center ice.
I think that they just actually changed that. That was what they originally were saying.
Yeah.
But I did see a mock-up where it's like two small logos at center ice, which is also kind of embarrassing for them. But
I still can't believe it all. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's one of those where you want the team to stay in like a non-traditional market, because it's the way you're going to continue to grow the sport.
But yeah. For sure. I mean, Austin Matthews is from Arizona, so it's like, like, I'm sure that's the Coyotes' fault. Like, but yeah, I feel like seeing a hockey NHL game in that size room would be like so amazing, no matter like what teams are playing, just because like it's kind of like a scene of like a small like punk show, like as opposed to like a big theater show. Mm-hmm. It's like the energy is just like way more intense.
Yeah, I would have, like, I've gone to playoff AHL games, so those are obviously way smaller arenas, and that atmosphere is crazy, so it would probably be comparable, like, every single game, but not if the opposing fans are buying up all the tickets.
You're just going to see a sea of other colors.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how it was when I went there anyways, so it was like mostly Red Wings fans.
How was it in LA? So you said you caught one last year?
Yeah, LA, like, there's a lot of Wings fans, because, like, there's a lot of transplants in LA, And so there was like a whole section that was Red Wings, like, and there's a whole bunch of, a whole like sea of red waiting, like during warmups, but like there's still, and they have enough of a base that there's like Kings fans there and stuff.
How so, and then it's not too far to go to Anaheim too, so you can really hit them. Yeah. And they probably play like the same week or weekend.
Yeah, yeah, they're usually a day apart, or like a, they have a day off and then play. And yeah, so I'll try to do both. And it's usually like they do those two together. They like on the same road trip, and then they'll do like they'll probably do like Seattle, Vegas, and Phoenix on another road trip or something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna ask that because I know how like you know. Basketball in LA is, you know, you're automatically a Lakers fan. There's barely any Clippers fans, according to the lore. How is it with that split market with the Ducks? Because I know hardcore Ducks fans and I know hardcore Kings fans, but I've never really like been in that market to see like how that split is within, you know, an hour drive from stadiums.
It's, I mean, I think they both have their own base because like Orange County and LA are very like separate in their own way. Like, so, like even with shows, like, you know, on most tours, there's like a Anaheim show and an LA show.
Yeah.
Just cause it's like, there's it's not a huge market. There's just so many people in this general area of the country they're different, like big markets. And so I feel it's the same way with the Ducks. They have their fans and like anyone from like, you know, that grew up in that area is you know a Ducks fan, and then you know everyone else Kings fans. But I the guy who recorded our first record, he's like a huge Kings fan, but he's lives in Orange County. But he was into the Kings before the Ducks were a team. So I feel there's like a bunch of people that like if your original loyalty was to the Kings, you're not going to be a Ducks fan. But
yeah, especially yeah. like if you got into hockey like when Wayne Gretzky came to LA. So like you probably
became
a Kings fan at that time, and then
yeah exactly
the Mighty Ducks movies came out, you know, a year or two after, and you were probably like, oh, I'm already
invested.
I feel that was, you know, I mean, I guess Southern California hockey had two huge things going for them in the early 90s, so
they sure did.
I still miss those purple jerseys from the Kings, though.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah. Those were cool throwbacks.
Yeah, I like those.
You saw them in all the hip-hop videos in, like, the early 90s, too.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
The coolest thing.
Mm-hmm. Hockey jerseys are cool. I like them. They just feel good in them.
Well, and I was going to – that was, like, an unintentional segue into talking about how the Red Wings logo has pretty much remained – the same since their initial start. Like it's always been kind of like the winged wheel, whereas like most of the other, you know, original teams have kind of like switched up their logos a little bit, kind of tried out different things, but Detroit's always pretty much had the same logo overall.
Yeah, it's there's subtle differences here and there, and then you know in the like, you know, early 20s, there was like a few different other teams that they were called, but like the Cougars and something else. But like, yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's pretty iconic. I love it. Yeah.
Now there'll probably be like a little Caesars logo on the chest because that's happening this year.
Oh, there's more ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they on your helmet too?
We have a Meyer ad on our helmet, which is like a Michigan. Like a nicer Walmart, essentially. I mean, Little Caesars, one owns the team technically, and then also has
the stadium
name rights to the stadium. So maybe I think people already know about Little Caesars, so maybe they'll you know sell their jerseys to another company.
I don't know, that Little Caesar guy with like the pitchfork with the pizza through it, like that would be pretty sick on a jersey.
Yeah, if it was just that, just embroidered. Yeah,
just that. No like Little Caesars or anything.
Yeah, well I don't know what the jerseys look like, but that's like the big like like Triple A team in Michigan is Little Caesars.
That's awesome.
Like, yeah. And yeah, it's just called like Little Caesars hockey or whatever. And so in a lot of like kind of big names have come out of there. I don't know specifically who, but that's like the big Triple A team for like, you know, kids. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the farming team.
Yeah, I never made it to the Little Caesars team.
It's tough, man. My cousin-in-law is playing junior hockey for the Ogden Mustangs this year.
Nice.
Yeah, and even get to that level, his family has like basically just changed their entire life to get up to that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane. I will brag a little bit that I was the alternate captain for the 1998 Livonia Hawks. So you're talking to the legend.
I'll take that. I've never gotten a C or an A in any
He's got the big old A on his sweater.
Yeah, I got the big old A.
That's actually what so instead of like boutonnieres for my wedding, that's what I had all my groomsmen wear, like captain C's and assistant captain A's.
Oh, nice. So you ranked them?
You're like, yeah, this is how I want to rank my friends. It's a whole ranking system.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you do that anyways, right? Best man.
Yeah, with the best man.
Yeah.
Hopefully you gave Tommy the C.
Tom got the C.
I was about to say.
He did. Well, dude, Kyle, we're so pumped to hang with you tonight and just so pumped that Fireworks is back and this tour is going to be killer. Slam Dunk Fest is going to be killer. And when one morning I wake up and my Spotify's yelling at me that there's just like a new Fireworks album and we don't even know about it and it's just waiting for me, I'm going to be so pumped about that as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted to ask one fan question because it was the funniest fan question we've ever got. Does David's mouth still bleed from when he cut it when he was young?
Yes. Yes. It's always, it's always bleeding. I have to clean him up before we play. So
spray him down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 He's a bleeder.
That's I saw that one come through. I was like, I have to ask this. I can't not ask this one.
Well, I like it. Whoever asked that is.
And I truly relate to that lyric very well because growing up, like my mom didn't have much money. So I would always have to go to like the local community college to get like dental work done.
Oh, I've been so there.
I
yeah.
Like, I was like, man, I really like most people probably just like don't really relate to this, but I really relate to going to a student that was practicing dental
school. Yeah, I a few years ago, I had a root canal by a student, and it was awful.
It was awful.
Yeah.
They got the wrong tooth.
Yeah. I didn't need one. They just decided to do it.
That's kind of a whole nother level. Like, I would just get, like, a cavity filled or a teeth cleaning, but, geez, trusting a student with the root canal. I had one go the wrong way and get infected, and it was awful.
Oh.
Yeah, not fun. Not
fun. It's my worst nightmare. Yeah.
But Kyle, we'll let you go, man. It was really great, you know, catching up and just so pumped for you guys. Mm-hmm. And who knows, man? It's the beginning of the season. The Red Wings can surprise people. You know, you got Stevie Y running it, and he builds from his system. He did that with Tampa. He's doing it now. These aren't names that are household names yet, but who knows? This season could be surprising for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm just excited for it. It's cool to be on that side of things, like because we had like I was spoiled with like the best team in the world like for so long, and then now it's cool being like a real fan and just like kind of like watching the build and just being excited for them to be competitive. So I'm excited for it. But yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome. I'll be back in 150. So
we'll keep it to that one. We'll count the episodes so we get there.
Yeah. Like, and this album better be out before then.
Hopefully.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. We'll see what
hopefully the world we're talking about the B-sides at this point.
Yeah, the world has other plans for us. So
touché. Well, Kyle, thanks again, man. Yeah, it was a blast.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, dude.
All right. Bye.